Hello and welcome to Pandora's Box. This is Kalia. And today the topic of our show is energy vampires. I've done a show and articles on energy vampires in the past, but it feels like it's time to revisit this topic. Energy vampires are people who use other people as a food source. If you've done any research on narcissism, you will have heard the term source of supply. It is understood that most narcissistic people use others as a food source. Not literally, of course, but energetically. We are energy beings. Beneath our flesh and bones, we're powered by the energy of our spirit or soul. This is that life force within us. Some people have a very strong life force and others have a very weak one. We can all be energetically depleted at times in our lives. It's not just people who deplete our energy, but our jobs, our illnesses, our food, our emotional expenditures, and other life commitments. Our life force energy is very precious. We need to develop an awareness of our energy and how it is being spent. We need to be mindful of how we use our energy and where we might be able to conserve it. When we are energetically depleted, we naturally attempt to refuel ourselves to get our energy reserves back, which may include eating highly nutritious food, getting out in nature, taking a vacation, resting and sleeping more, and perhaps getting massage or energy treatment of some kind. There are also not so healthy ways of getting our energy needs met, such as fueling up on caffeine and sugar or taking drugs or borrowing or taking energy from other people. Human beings are constantly engaged in an energetic dance with each other. We all give and take energy from each other. We do this both consciously and unconsciously. We may reach out to a friend when we're feeling down, or allow someone to wait on us when we're sick, or get into an argument with someone close to us when we're feeling powerless. There are times where someone may need extra energy and take more from life, such as when an individual is sick or depressed. And there are times we give more energy to someone in need. But if we're always taking or always giving, there's an energetic imbalance. This is why we need to be very mindful of our energy levels. An energy vampire is a taker. He or she consistently takes energy from others. Usually by the time someone becomes an energy vampire, that person has lost the ability to draw nourishment from life itself, from nature, from love, and from the God source within. One may be highly religious and claim to have a strong relationship with God or the divine, but still be an energy vampire. And this indicates a failure to actually draw nourishment from the source of life itself. The most sophisticated of energy vampires make room one or more energy sources, very much like a gardener will grow his own food. If an energy vampire grooms a source of supply, then he or she can continually feed on that supply until such a time that it's depleted. When that energy source is depleted, the energy vampire will usually discard that empty source and pursue another source. One that has already likely been groomed and is waiting and ready to feed the vampire. Of course, this is all done unconsciously. Most people aren't aware that they are a fuel source for someone in their life. That awareness often comes after they've been depleted and discarded. They actually feel used up and thrown away like a piece of trash. Ironically, true energy vampires keep their discarded sources on the line so they may return for more energy once the depleted individual has gained some of his or her energy back. I consistently hear clients tell me, it's as if he had a sixth sense. I was just starting to feel strong again, and I got that text or phone call, and it all started over again. He told me that the other person didn't really mean anything to him. It was me that he loved. It was me that he wanted. We can be real suckers when it comes to energy vampires. When we don't realize our role, an energy source, and we romanticize the relationship and believe it's about love, we unconsciously enter a cycle of being used up and discarded, used up and discarded over and over again. A typical energy vampire will bounce back and forth between energy sources and have several relationships going at once in various stages. The irony is that when you've been a victim of an energy vampire, you are at risk of becoming an energy vampire yourself. This is because you are so depleted energetically that you reach out to others looking for food, and this is also done unconsciously. There's nothing wrong, of course, with reaching out to a friend and letting that friend know that you're in trouble and need some support. But when we tell the same story over and over again and we aren't moving forward because we're stuck in a place of depletion, we drain our friends and family. It's not that we mean to do this. Most victims of a vampire would be horrified if they realized that they are draining others. Now, in vampire folklore, blood is the life energy that is taken. Blood, of course, represents our life force. A vampire can only enter through an open window. That window is an invitation. The vampire usually has a seductive quality, and the victim willingly exposes her neck. Once she is bitten, she herself becomes a vampire and must prey on the lifeblood of others. Vampires are considered to be immortal and don't die, unless, of course, they don't get their fuel. They are completely dependent upon the lifeblood of others. Ironically, there are plenty of unsuspecting victims who will leave their window open and offer the invitation, just as there's always a lineup of unsuspecting men and women who will open their door over and over to the energy vampire. The open window represents not only an invitation, but it is the doorway to your soul. When you leave your window open for the vampire to enter, you are giving him access to your soul. Your exposed neck represents your vulnerability. You're showing the vampire your weakness so he can use it against you. So many women I work with tell me, I told him everything about me. I told him about my fears, my insecurities, all of my soft spots, and then he turned around and used them to hurt me. Using your weaknesses against you is a way that an energy vampire takes your energy. When you have that feeling like you've been punched in the gut, this is energy loss. When you feel that drop in energy as a result of something said to you that was really cruel and attacking, this is energy loss. We can equate energy loss with soul loss. This is why I refer to this kind of vampirism as soul rape. Rape is when someone steals your energy, attacks your vulnerability, and feeds upon your sexual energy, which is your kundalini energy, your life force. Rape is not just someone forcing themselves on you sexually. Make no mistake, rapists are vampires, stealing your life force energy and depleting you in one incident, completely depleting you in one incident. With rape, the rapist moves in and takes all of your life force energy, draining your cup all at one time. When we're a victim of soul rape, our energy is being taken from us on a consistent basis, and we're not getting anything back from the taker. We often don't realize that we aren't getting anything back because we are lost in the illusion of romance and believe we're getting love. But the truth is, there's no love here. Love doesn't take from you. Love gives to you. If you're being depleted by a relationship, it isn't about love. There's a toxic dynamic in play, and if you don't get out, you'll be completely taken over and drained. One big question you might be asking is, why am I addicted to the person who is taking from me? Why do I keep leaving my window open, hoping he will come in? Good question. If you think about it, energy vampires need to be pretty seductive in order to get their sources to expose their neck. One who exposes her neck believes she's getting love and romance, but she's getting bitten instead and drained of all her energy. There is an illusionary reality created by the one who leaves her window open. It's based on fantasy, a belief that she has an authentically loving relationship with the vampire. There's an unwillingness to let go of this fantasy and see the truth. This fantasy is also a belief. Most of my clients will tell me, I believed that we had something really special. I believed we were soulmates. I believed we were destined to be together. But sadly, these are just beliefs that have no basis in reality. The reality is an authentic relationship is based on both give and take. There is an energy exchange. This is not the case with an energy vampire. An energy vampire is a taker. I've also talked in the past about intermittent reinforcement in relationships and how this dynamic contributes to forming addictions. When you receive doses of affection, gifts, sexual attention, a phone call, text message, or compliments, you may find yourself waiting with bated breath for the next reinforcement. This produces an environment of waiting for the good stuff. Because the attention is intermittent, it becomes like crack cocaine to the recipient, leaving her wanting more and more. When attention is withdrawn, one may experience feelings of abandonment, fear, loneliness, uncertainty, insecurity, jealousy, and a host of other symptoms. But when the attention is given once again, there is a relief of symptoms and reinforcement that he or she is really loved. A sort of punishment reward system is set up. The dance between feeling abandoned, ignored, mistreated, and fearful one moment and feeling relieved and loved the next creates instability in the relationship. And the one who is being abandoned focuses more of her attention on getting what she wants by attempting to avoid the punishing behavior and get more of the rewards. The punishment and reward system can be interpreted as a sign that you are either good or bad. Because in the moment of reward or punishment, you are perceived this way. Because of deep core wounds established in early childhood, being ignored and avoided may produce a feeling of, I am bad. There's something wrong with me. And being shown attention and love may produce a feeling of, I am good. The behavior of the energy vampire is taken personally, and the victim of the energy vampire is drained by the inconsistency of behavior. Once the victim is energetically depleted and the energy vampire moves on to his or her next victim, the former victim may still find herself waiting for the positive reinforcement. She may be waiting for that phone call or text message. She may be waiting to see proof that she is loved and valued. Whatever the reason she's still waiting, unable to really wrap her mind around the possibility that the user has used her up and withdrawn all attention. When we get just a little bit of attention, or attention on a very sporadic basis, we begin to crave it like a thirsty person craves water. When the attention is completely withdrawn, there's still an air of expectation in place due to the past history of intermittent reinforcement. A woman may tell herself, "He will be back. He always comes back." Of course, there may be a part of her that doesn't want him to come back because she knows consciously how damaging this relationship is, but the addiction is stronger. Many people will tell me, "I pray he or she doesn't come back because I'm afraid if he shows up or she shows up at my door acting all sweet and kind, I'm going to buckle. I'm not going to be able to resist it." If you find yourself struggling with this kind of addiction to an energy vampire, remember that the relationship is and has always been one of energy extraction. You have only ever been a battery used to fuel the vampire's agenda. You may believe you received a lot from that relationship, but it will be important to write down on paper what you actually did receive. What did you really get from this? And be honest. Although there may still be an addiction in place, you need to recognize that the longer the energy vampire is out of your life, the more your energy reserves are filled up again. When you're not constantly giving your energy to the vampire through fighting, arguing, defending yourself, waiting, wanting, wishing, loving, taking care of, funding, and experiencing intense highs and lows, your energy cup will begin to fill again. Because of the addictive element, you may not see this, but your friends or family may. They may tell you that you're looking much better, that you're looking younger and healthier since the relationship with the vampire ended. But you may be reeling in too much emotional pain to have noticed. Many people I work with are very energetically depleted when they first come to work with me. But after just a few sessions, I often notice their voice becoming stronger and their energy feels much stronger. The sooner they accept the end of the relationship and see it as a good thing, the sooner they will recover. When they still hold on to hope that they're going to get the good stuff on a consistent basis, they keep selling themselves an illusion, which slows or prevents recovery. The good news is that you can recover from the toxic dance with an energy vampire. You can regain your strength and energy. You will need to confront your deep feelings of betrayal because you have been betrayed, and betrayal is a deep wound. You will usually feel used up and thrown away. You will have a lot of different emotions about what has taken place. The longer the relationship, the deeper the feelings of betrayal and disbelief. There's also a deep sense of injustice. How can he do this and get away with it? Or how can she do this and get away with it? How can they just keep on going without missing a beat and continue with someone else? Will that person do this to others, or is it just me? There's often a lot of self-blame that a person needs to work through. One might ask the question, "Am I somehow to blame for his or her behavior towards me? Was it my fault?" One may have a feeling that she's in her worst nightmare and fantasizes that the vampire will return changed and rehabilitated so that she doesn't have to live in this nightmare any longer. One thing we learn about personality disorders is that the disorder actually affects one's character. It isn't a disease one typically heals from. It's built into the structure of that individual, and they are compelled to act out. Even if they try to avoid acting out, they are still compelled. Serial rapists and killers normally target one person at a time when their lust for blood becomes strong. Their behavior is cyclical. They can seemingly be living a normal life, but when the urge to act out takes them over, they don't seem to have control over it. There's a strong compulsion to rape or murder in their sick, methodical ways. Ted Bundy, a serial killer from the 70s and 80s, volunteered at a crisis clinic in Seattle and was considered one of the best when it came to talking someone out of committing suicide. On one hand, he was admired and seen as a great person. He was saving lives. But when the compulsion hit him, he would target his next victim and take her life. The sociopathic rapists and murderers are the greatest vampires on the planet. They physically harm and kill other human beings without a conscience. What we need to understand is that the narcissist and other cluster B personality disordered individuals have the same cyclical compulsion, and these cycles are destined to repeat themselves over and over. The method of acting out is different for each vampiric personality, but you can be sure that they will continue to act out. Someone who is this disordered can't just decide to stop acting out. They don't seem to have that kind of self-control. Some vampiric personalities may tell you that they will stop the bad behavior, but they don't. They can't. There's something within their personality structure that drives them. There's no love that is great enough to change this. It is true that love can heal all wounds, but your love will not heal the vampire. It will heal you. Love can only heal another person if they can let it in. And most vampires have such a huge wall around their heart that no force outside of them could ever penetrate it. We like to believe we can be the hero in the life of the disordered personality, but we are not that powerful. We're not powerful enough to remove a lifetime of scar tissue around the heart. That heart is hardened beyond our ability to repair it. If you're living a fantasy that you are the one whose love will transform the villain into the hero, it's time to let that fantasy go. The only transformation you will experience is your own. Bring your attention back to yourself. If you were starving and had wasted away physically, you would know that to heal yourself, you would need to begin fueling your body again with good, high-quality nutrition. The same method of healing is needed for your emotional and physical energy. You have to really learn to feed yourself. Feed yourself on all levels and find yourself worthy of feeding. Feeding yourself physically is an important step. You need to nourish your body with whole plant foods because the energy of plants is the highest on the spectrum of foods available for healing and nourishment. They carry the highest vibration. If we want to increase our energy, we need to eat more plant foods, more fruits and vegetables, green smoothies, freshly pressed juices, and lots of leafy greens, preferably in their raw form, either in salads, juices, or smoothies. The second thing is to get out into nature as often as you can. Go for a walk. Breathe the fresh air. Listen to the birds. You can draw nourishment from nature. She is the ultimate giver of life. Eat from nature and spend time in nature. The next thing is to conserve your energy. Many people become agoraphobic during the first stages of recovery, and there's actually a reason for this. Psychologically, it's due to post-traumatic stress disorder, which causes panic and anxiety if you go out in public. Often this stems around the fear of seeing the vampire or someone associated with him. Victims become reclusive and avoidant. but this is usually temporary. You actually need to withdraw your energy from the world. When you have nothing left to give, it's time to stop giving your energy out there in the world and bring it back to yourself. You need to be able to fill your own cup before you're able to fill the cup of others. When your own cup is overflowing, you give to others from the overflow. Never give from a near empty cup, because you are of no good to others when you have an empty cup. The first rule of recovery is fill thy own cup. Another important rule is give no more to the vampire. Close the door, close the window, cut off all contact, and refuse to be a source. Don't fool yourself into believing it will ever be different. It is safe to assume it won't be. Learn from your experience. This is a great learning opportunity. You can learn how you gave your power away and how you allowed yourself to be energetically depleted. When you can learn from your experiences, you can stop being a victim and start being empowered. After your initial researching phase, stop giving any attention to the vampire, including researching narcissism and everything else around it. Once you realize what you are dealing with, you need to trust in your own knowing. Trust in the newfound knowledge and awareness and begin focusing your energy on your own healing. People in the support forums for narcissistic abuse will often focus entirely upon the narcissist or vampire and what he or she did or are still doing, or what that person is, or what a no good piece of crap that person is, or how they're missing out, or what's going on with a new source of supply. There's a lot of focus around the narcissist. Although obsession with the perpetrator is common in the beginning stages of healing, you will recover much quicker if you can bring your attention back to yourself and what you need to heal. You may need some counseling, someone who will give you their undivided attention. We often burn out our friends in situations like this, and it isn't the friend's fault. They often don't understand because they haven't had this experience. The friend will quickly grow tired of hearing about your relationship gone bad, but isolating yourself without support isn't good either. Making the investment in yourself and working with someone who understands the effect of personality disorders and vampiric energy is very valuable to your recovery. A lot of people are concerned about money because when you are energetically depleted, it often results in financial depletion. Just understand that the money you spend in therapy, if it is a good therapist, will also help you to recover financially. When you can budget for a certain amount of professional support, it will be money well spent. You need to find yourself worthy. You are worth the support from therapy. You are worth buying good organic food. You are worth that book or that download. You are worth your recovery. Energy vampires will go on being vampires. They will go on extracting the life force of whoever leaves their window open. You can't change that. But you can stop being a victim of such things and learn how to take care of yourself and protect yourself. If you would like my support in your recovery, know that I'm here for you. I'm here to help you. I offer a package of 4 sessions at a discount, and just 4 sessions can make a huge difference in your moving forward. I keep my prices low in comparison to most coaches and counselors so that I'm accessible for those who really need the support. You can contact me through my website at narcissismfree.com, and you can also book a session online. Thank you for listening. Be empowered, and I'll see you next time.